Yes.
And they're a great audience, and I can't wait to get there.
You know what? I can't wait either. And we absolutely loved our time with the entire audience out there.
Absolutely.
So we thank you. We love you. You're incredible people. And we're thrilled with the relationship that we're developing with a whole group out there. Good people.
Good people.
My God, this is, that's very, very cool. Once again, the pledge line is 212-209-2950. Website, givetowbai.org. And this is for you plus one friend for only $97 pledge to Prosperity Rapid Expansion 2015. Let's take you and your business to the highest level. I hope you've enjoyed the hour. This is Chris Howard once again, and we'll see you very soon. Hopefully, January 31st.
Can't wait.
All right. See you soon. Take care and make every day an extraordinary adventure.
Joy of Resistance, Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI will come to you on Thursdays between 9 and 10 p.m. We'll continue to bring you exciting coverage of the ongoing and worldwide movement for full equality for women that is going on in every country and culture on the planet. And we'll be adding new formats. The Feminist View, a monthly panel of diverse voices, women in the street segments, and more. And you'll still be able to hear the Rape Declaration Forum once a month on the third Thursday. So tune in Thursdays 9 to 10 p.m. for an expanded Joy of Resistance covering the issues that affect one half the world and the other half, too.
Hello, this is Rebecca Miles. I co-host the Rape Declaration Forum with Jay Grace every third Thursday of the month at 9 p.m. on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. The show is a virtual space for rape survivors and thrivers and their supporters, whether lovers, partners, friends, and family. We share stories, take listener calls, celebrate the work of activists and grassroots efforts to fight this deplorable crime. Follow us on Twitter at radio_RDF. Tune in. Log on. The program is underwritten by you, the listeners.
I bid you good evening, good morning. You're listening to WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the interim program, Earth at Midnight. For those of you who are familiar with the work that I do here at WBAI, you would have heard me on Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. I host the program Heart of Mind. And I have been doing that program for what seems to be something in the neighborhood of 10 years here on WBAI over different time slots, starting Thursday evenings at 10. No, I started on Mondays at 8. Was moved to Thursdays at 10, and then to Mondays at 1. And so we are engaging in another set of transformation here at WBAI, so it'll be interesting to see if that program ends up in this time slot. It may very well. And so I've been here doing this interim program, Earth at Midnight, and I chose that name because of the show that preceded me, Earthwatch with Robert Knight, who was, such a master at what he did do, that there's no way to compare or to replicate. But in my own way, I did want to, and at least honor the work that he did by maintaining that connection with Gaia, the Mother Earth, and that connection with our listeners and with guests, and trying to bring a little bit of a mix of the political and the spiritual. But in truth, my heart is in the spiritual realm, and that is what I do naturally, spirituality and health. So I'm going to share a little bit of that with you this evening. And my reason for doing that is because on last week's program, I was really feeling the energy of violence in the world, and was feeling that there must be something that we can do to have a positive impact. And perhaps that is true. There are many political things that can be done, actions that can be taken. There must be some legal things that can be done. But for today, I'm going to focus on looking at our world and looking at ourselves from the perspective of our inner selves, the invisible part of our being that is not so readily seen in the world. And I did have a very interesting phone call at the end of the last program from a caller, a woman who wanted to really speak about how do we heal this situation. And so I'm totally in agreement with that sentiment, and I think it's something that we could also address today. So I will invite you to come back in with your conversation with regard to what it would take to heal the discordant, the dysfunctional, and the seemingly intractable forces that are attempting to keep our world in chaos. So from that perspective, we'll proceed. And I am very grateful for your listening and being here and participating in the energy of the evening. And I look forward to having conversation with you as we move forward through today's this morning's program. And my colleague, Paulette Spencer, is actually working on assignment this evening, so she'll be joining us again next week. I ask you to just stay tuned, and we anticipate doing a special next week on Dr. Martin Luther King celebrating his life, so stay tuned.
Sunlight that kisses my skin. In every step, every sunrise, every ray of sunlight that kisses my skin.
Very fragile. Well, you know that when you come out, deep breath, and then you look, and then you feel, golden feel, and then suddenly you realize that you are more than small piece of meat walking on earth. I know.
Again, you're listening to WBAI Radio here in New York City. And for those of you who might have some thoughts about the healing, transforming of our world, please do give me a phone call at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. And we did get a recommendation that everyone should do Tai Chi Chuan, and it might go a long way towards healing the world. I actually agree. I do Qigong. Hello, you're on the air. Hold on, you're not on the air. Now you are. Hello? Are you there? Let's try this again. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Yes, hi.
Hi. Yeah, they tell this story about a little boy who wanted his father to play with him. And the father was too busy reading the paper. And the boy kept badgering him. So finally, the father took a section of paper and there was a map of the world, and he tore it up. And he said, "Here, put this together." And the little boy came back in about a half an hour with the complete world all in one piece. And the father was amazed. He said, "How did you do that?" And the little boy said, "Well, on the other side of the paper was the picture of a man." He said, "I put the man together and the world came together."
Oh, that's interesting. So what is the message that you derive from that?
I think we have to focus on our individual healing and let that move out. Not to say that we don't involve ourselves with groups, but so many times we get involved with political things and meanwhile our personal lives are suffering.
I totally agree with you on that one. I totally agree with you. Not only do our personal lives suffer, but we get distracted from the core of who we are and end up very often following a path that is reflective of the violence. Very often people who are struggling for change are violent in those struggles as well.
Yes. Well, I think a spiritual path has to be established too. I was watching an interview that Oprah Winfrey did with Thich Nhat Hanh on YouTube. And she says to him, well, you know, I mean, my goodness, what do you do? Don't you get upset? And, you know, when things don't go your way or something terrible happens? And he says, yes. She said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I return to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been trained to do. And that metaphor, returning to the breath, has helped me a lot lately.
Yeah, I agree with you. I find that that's what I do as well. Very, very calming and enriching counsel that you're giving this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, the number here is 212-209-2900. And let's see, I'll put on another piece of music while I'm waiting for your call. I'm going to play a bit of Johnny Rivers.
Eyes as he searched the faces of the people he'd meet for one he could recognize. As hard as stone, the poor boy whimpered and began to cry because he was all alone.
We have a couple of callers coming in. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Cassie. Catherine, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Good, thanks. How are you doing?
All right. A few things. I was thinking about one day, how could we just completely solve the energy problem? And something struck me. I said, what is the most valuable resource in the world? And what I came up with, it's human beings, human spirit. That's the most powerful resource in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we just, people say, oh, the sun or the water or the wind or the gas underneath the ground. And no, human spirit. And so if we were to say to ourselves, you know what, I think we could generate our own energy. All we have to do was get some engineers to figure out how to build pedals, like sort of like, I would say, like stationary bicycles, you know, maybe just seats with pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And then have people themselves start to power as generators to power, like maybe cells that we could store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if if people were understanding and really getting a charge out of the fact that they were creating their own power, it would be such an enlightening feeling for everybody to not thinking that they're depending on anything but themselves. And it could be made such fun. I mean, I could imagine like children wanting to just run over and do this. Adults, we could have like, you know, card tables where you can sit at a card table and play cards and peddle. You can eat, you can converse. There's all kinds of ways that we can make these pedals.
Well, maybe we should turn all of the gyms into power plants.
That would be another thing, exactly, because we all need exercise. So it would be helping us in that way, too, because we'd all be exercising. If we were doing it in the United States and they were doing it in France and they were doing it in Africa and they were doing it in China and they were doing it, this would bring people together because we would be saying, look, we're creating our own energy. We're, you know, we're all doing the same thing. We're creating our own energy with our own power. And I just believe that this would eliminate any other power, you know, especially the insane ones like nuclear and the ones that are fossil fuels that are, you know, killing the planet and then now fracking and come on. I mean, but, you know, I mean, these, see, okay, my bottom line here is that we just have to just use a little bit more common sense as human spirits.
And be willing to make some sacrifice and some contribution and perhaps we can come up with something. And that does make me think also that as human beings, we are electrical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sense that the energy that runs through us is electrical. Mm-hmm. And so if we could find some more refined way of tapping into our own electrical currents, that might be something to think about. But also the truth is that electricity is a natural resource that flows from the source. You know, science have figured out a way to tap into it and funnel it through wires, but nobody really knows where it comes from and what it is. So technically, we might be able to get energy right out of the air if we had a device that could do it.
There was a show on last night. I keep forgetting the name of it, but it was telling that there have been many perpetual energy machines that have already been created, but they've been squashed.
Yeah. So that's another thing that we could look into is investing in some of these discoveries and inventions and beginning to put them into our homes and into our workplaces
paying. They can't squash. They can't, you know, I mean, they can't even get out in the, you know, because, well, I mean, of course we know why, because, you know, people that are trying to run things, they don't want things
probably and potentially that, you know, in small collective situations, it can be accessed and built. Because these things, I've heard of these things too, and they're not hard to build if you have that kind of technical ability. So if we start making these things, you know, the problem is that they get squashed and patents get bought. What happens is the big companies buy the patents and then they refuse to manufacture it. So we need to maybe manufacture it on our own. So, but the idea is to start thinking in those ways. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right.
Bye bye. And we have another caller standing by. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, thanks. Well, thank you for this program. I've spoken to you before, but it's been a long, long, long while, so I'm glad to be here and talking to you. A couple of calls back, a gentleman was talking about the breath and coming back to the breath. I was thinking about tying that up to the Johnny Rivers songs that I was thinking to myself, this guy has such a wonderful, beautiful, haunting sound, you know, mm-hmm. and it ties in also to the soundtrack of at least my age frame of reference. I remember as a child, you know, he had a few hits, and by no means do I measure the quality of an artist by their hits or not. That's mm-hmm. just, you know, freakish things that happen of the marketplace of music and. But it's just a statement of fact that he had these hits and that they're very well known. So, you know, I and the song Secret Agent Man is like one of my top three.
I didn't realize that was him. Yeah.
Yeah, that you didn't know that. That's Johnny Rivers. Yeah, Secret Agent Man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was able to bring that up because he. That's probably one of my top three TV show theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I mention this is I think it ties in with breath and getting back to a sense of place in that, you know, I think we're a bit of a culture that's, you know how often you hear people talk about being works of art, you know, they did a good job because it wasn't sentimental. And I think there is a place for sentimentalism within the proper context. It's not about living in sentimentalism 24/7 or morbidly indulging that, but sometimes we all, or speak for myself, I can't necessarily say for everyone, but the way I'm wired, I get a little soul recharge from just listening to stuff from my past that has some connection to making me feel good. It's like the comfort food that,
mm-hmm.
you know, may or may not be healthy, but of course you can prepare a healthier version of it today if you're a little creative, and it brings you back that little buzz from the past, you know.
Yeah.
So these songs like Johnny Rivers and had such like a soulful, kind of mournful, beautiful, melancholic feel.
Sound to
it. He's singing and guitar playing.
Yeah, it really opens up your heart, and
sure.
like you said, it makes you recall perhaps a more innocent time in your life. That's what happens to me, and so I can relate to what you're saying.
Sure, sure. And even if those times weren't even all completely innocent or all that great, they could have been like little pockets of refuge within the storm or the tempest that we may have gone through at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And those songs can provide a little bit of a haven that, you know, another song like my Hangover, and I'm looking at the screen right now, I'm kind of cheating. I'm not going... You know, our memories are atrophying because we have But hey, you know, Summer Rain, you know, was another big hit of his. And Memphis, Do You Want to Dance? Poor Side of Town, Baby, I Need Your Lovin'.
Mm.
And I don't know if where along the line, that song's been done by different people. I don't know where along the line he came into that, if he wrote that or he did some version of that, I don't know. Rockin' Pneumonia, Boogie Woogie. And Mountain of Love. So these are some really, really nice tunes. So I'll leave it at that and let some other people get on. And it's great speaking with you.
Thank you. Okay.
You be well. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, some of the music that I'm playing belong to my colleague from this radio station, Robert Knight. I actually inherited some of his music. You know, his collection of music. So I've really been enjoying it. He had a very diverse, very broad taste in music. So I find that it has that real soulful resonance to it. And I'll play another piece that I really have enjoyed. Let's see if I can find it here. I don't see it, but I'll come up with it before we get too far into the program. And the number here is 212-209-2900. And one of the things that I certainly have been doing is become very focused on my spiritual world, my inner connection and the connection to higher guidance, the connection to divinity, the reaching into that understanding of who we really are as beings. And it is true that we are human beings with physical bodies, but our essence is not the physical. Our essence is something much grander, something much deeper. And when we can maintain that perspective, we can feel a deeper appreciation for who we are and who each other are, so that our world doesn't become a world of comparisons and judgments and worrying about whether or not we measure up or we're good enough, or having to compare ourselves based on what someone else is doing. And this is a lot of what happens in the world, is that people have been cultivated in a mental environment of inferiority. And that happens through the commercialism that we have in our society at this time. It's designed to cultivate within us the need to fill ourselves with something else, that we're not good enough without the right clothes, the right car, the right job, the right relationship, the right looks, the right weight, you know. So we're always living our lives in these comparisons. And I have spent a lot of time withdrawing from that world. And the thing that I first needed to do was stop watching television, because I found that commercials made me depressed. And I just decided at one point, it's been a while now, that when the television went digital, that I would just not get a digital TV and I would stop watching TV. And that's what I've done. I mean, I still watch videos. I still go on the internet. So I do still get exposure to commercials, and even going to a movie, they have advertising. But TV, when you're sitting and spending hours watching TV, there's a steady diet of inculcating into our minds a sense of neediness, a sense of desiring things that we don't need or want, or thinking of ourselves as being less than, or beginning to think of other people as being less than. And there's a lot of information that's conveyed through advertising. And I actually studied advertising, believe it or not, when I was in high school and college. And what I found out as a result of doing that is that advertising really has a lot of subliminal messages within it. The symbols in it connect deeply into our psychology. There's symbolism in the imagery, there's symbolism in the words, and they even run in photographs. They'll airbrush little things in there, little messages that bypass the conscious and feed right into the subconscious. And so we are drawn into this world of not being human beings, not being people, not being spirit, but being consumers. And our whole world is tailored to creating out of a human being a consumer. And that's how we're played to, that's how human beings are thought of, and we are taught to value ourselves and each other based on how much we can consume. And so, I'm sure there are other factors that are part of that, but advertising does play a big role in the magnification of it. If you look way back into the early days of media, radio, and then early television, things were much less sophisticated. But if you even look before the electronic media, and it was mostly print media, things were made to last. So people, when they got something, they anticipated it was going to last a long time, and they were made to last. Cars last for generations. You know, electronic equipment lasted for a long time. Clothes were made sturdy and to support your body. And so things are now made to be disposable. And we've reached such a level of disposability that human beings are disposable. So our society is in such a chaotic state that it contributes to all the, you know, the suffering in the world. And so I think that first caller had some real insight when he was saying that we really have to repair our own being so that we're not contributing to the chaos. I think that's really a big part of how we can begin to make a change. And in being able to regard each other with dignity and respect. And it's one of the reasons I was playing that song, Brother, Where Are You? It's because it speaks to the notion that we're all brothers, we're all one being, we're all connected, which is true. But we don't always embody that truth. And I think it's something that we can all consider how we can do that. And one of the first ways to do it is to be kind in our thoughts and be kind in our responses and reactions to people and pulling back from the anger and the judgment. And even if we have these feelings, we don't have to act upon them. We can process it and try to figure out what's really going on. Because usually when someone is angry about something or intolerant about something, there's a reflection within themselves that is being triggered by whatever that point of judgment is. So I think that we can really make a difference by how we engage with each other. So this is the, let me see, I thought I found that piece of music. I wanted to play it. It's called Shape of My Heart. It's Sting. It's a really cool song. I'm going to play it. I think I played it as part of the memorial piece I did on New Year's Day, but it's really one of my favorite pieces.
And those he plays never suspect. He doesn't play for the money he wins. He doesn't play for respect. He deals a card to find the answer, the sacred geometry of chance, law of a probable outcome, the numbers lead a dance. You know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. He may play the jack of diamonds, he may lay the queen of spades, he may conceal a king in his hand while a memory of it fades. The spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds shape of my heart. That's not the shape.
And that was The Spirit of Rumi, the name of that expression, and it was called Don't Go Back to Sleep. You're listening to Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine Davis, and I have been working through my spiritual journey, I think, since the day of my birth. Perhaps we all have, but it's certainly been a great focus of my life for the last 20 to 30 years. And I have been actually a practitioner and teacher of Qigong for 20 years, and as well doing energy healing work. And so I find that really much of what we go through and experience is deeply connected to what's happening behind, within, underneath what we see. And very often what we see in the world, what's happening in our lives, is a reflection of something that's unresolved within our own being. And we're also dealing with people and engaging with people in our relationships who are also acting out the manifestation of their own unresolved issues. And so a lot of navigating our world is to just come to that understanding that we're not fully realized into our most profound and capacities as beings. And a lot of that has to do with, I believe, just the evolutionary process. We're in the process of evolving ourselves. Our society is in the process of evolving. And we're just really lucky to be living during a time when that evolution is being, that evolution is being enhanced by the nature of the time period that we're living in. And I'm going to play an old song. It's from Hair, and it's the version from the production. And just to remind us that we're living during very special times. It may not look so, but indeed we are.
Planet.
couple of weeks ago, I played a recording of an interview that I did with Sergio Magana. Maybe some of you heard it. And he is a Toltec lineage holder, and he was speaking of the meaning of the transition point that we're living in right now, the dawning of the sixth sun, he called it. And it was about the ending of time. And a lot of people, when they, you know, when the archaeologists went and they tried to interpret the meaning of these predictions, they falsely or misinterpreted, you know, they perhaps did the best they could, but interpreted it to mean that the world would end. It was predicting the end of the world. But actually what it was predicting was the end of time. And in that it was reaching a point of acceleration, reaching a point where time becomes almost meaningless. And many of you may be able to attest to that. You know, you wake up in the morning, you do 2-3 things, and then the day is done. And it seems that time is really accelerating. And at the same time, though, when you're deeply connected into, you know, the moment you're in, then time can seem to be endless. And you can, when you're in that flow, you can do many things or be very creative and very introspective. So there's something going on with perceiving time. And as I spoke of, I'm not sure if I spoke of on this program, but what happens with our beings is that we are basically birthed, our soul is born from a higher soul aspect of who we are. So if we were to connect and embody the fullness of our spirit and our soul, it would actually be too much for our physical bodies and would burn it out. And so when we're born into our bodies, as, you know, ensouled into the ancestral lineage of your birth, most of who you are gets left in the realm of spirit, or in the density, a much faster vibrational density. And so the larger aspect of who you are is giving birth to an aspect of itself into your being. And then there's this inner connection where the higher soul or parent soul is working to guide us through our life, with the ultimate goal is to expand and evolve humanity. And so it's interesting, because I have found that through a lot of my introspection and meditation and purposefully connecting with the spirit, I have really tapped into a very direct connection with the spirit world, with my higher self, with the divinity that is connected to my being. We all are equal in this. We all equally have it. We can all equally connect to it. And we can find guidance. We can find counsel. We can find a real experience, loving experience, in connecting with your higher self, your expanded self. And I have found that this is a connection that is, for me, it's a connection that is made through the heart. I'm sure there are, you know, there's divine mind, and the divine mind is communicates through my heart. That's how it works for me. And for others, it may be different. But I have found that when I can shut down my human brain mind that has a tendency to be repetitive, that has a tendency to be capable of doubt and negativity and fear, I've discovered that a lot of these emotions are connected to the human mind. And when we can withdraw from that repetitive pattern thinking, we can connect into our divine mind or the heart consciousness and make a much deeper connection into the world of our spirit, which we also embody. So it's being able to expand yourself beyond what we see in the physical world into who you are in the next vibration. So if you think in terms of the chakra systems in our body, and this comes from Ayurveda or the system of yoga from India, and, you know, we have a different chakra for each portal within our body, the lower body, you know, at the base, the sexual center, the solar plexus, the heart. We have another chakra at the high heart at this point, which is the upper chest, the throat, the third eye. We actually have third, fourth, and fifth eyes, you know, three more chakras there, the crown. And then we have chakras that are above our body and below our body, you know, connecting to the earth, connecting to the cosmos. And what these chakras are is they're tapping into our system from the vibration of that level of understanding. So as we access the different levels of understanding and open up the full system, then we can get into a much more profound relationship and communication with the various levels. So if you think of yourself as being a human being, and many of you have heard of the ethereal body, which is, you know, can leave your physical body, and that's more of a fourth dimensional density. And then there's another aspect of you that's at the next level, and then again and again and again on through creation. And part of the evolutionary process and what a lot of people are calling ascension is opening up the access to all these vibrational experiences that are connected to you. And so this is part of the process of evolving oneself to be able to have a more purposeful experience through life, but also to be able to navigate life in a much more coherent way. And I have gotten into the habit of greeting my spiritual guides, my higher self, my angels, my, you know, so I'm very much into a recognition of the beings that embody these other densities, these other vibrations. And they're all overlaid, so you can have a being right next to you and you wouldn't be able to see them or hear them unless you were open to that language, the language of that vibration. So, but there is a communication, a link that can be made, and I've been working to open up that expression within myself. And after last week's program, I had a really serious, not personal encounter, but I witnessed a really violent act on the train going home. And it troubled me that I was finding myself to be in a state where I was concerned about violence. And then I went out into the world and I witnessed some. And I began to wonder, well, is this a reflection of me that I'm happened to be in this space at this time? Or, you know, so I just made me go a little bit deeper in contemplation. So very often I'll go into sleep with the intent through my dream state to resolve and find answers to questions that I have. And what occurred, I think it was the night after Thursday night, I had this insight, I got a sort of a message that just sort of seeped into my consciousness, and it was about faith is what I was not paying attention to. And I had a little inner confusion with that because I don't think I had a full understanding of what it meant. I mean, I intellectually know what faith means, but I didn't really have a connection on what it meant in relationship to what I was experiencing. So I contemplated and thought about it, and so finally I just, you know, went into a, and really opened up and just asked, put the question out there. And I happened to record this whole process of putting the question out there and allowing the answer to come through me from my, from the guidance that I interact with in my higher self. It's really just opening myself up to the wisdom that's there. We're often so distracted that it doesn't come through. And so I did record it, and so I'm going to, I've played it before, so some of you may have heard it, but I'm going to play it again, and I'd be curious to see what your thoughts are about that. So afterwards, we'll have a few minutes for your phone calls. To do a meditation today on the new year. 2015 is the year of faith, trust, knowing, being. Take a few deep breaths. Invite the presence of my higher being, my higher self, to embody its wisdom within my physical being, within my understanding. The presence of my higher self, my all-knowing self, to express through my being an understanding and meditation on faith. Faith is the foundation for expressing in confidence with divine will. It is a knowing that all is as it should be and in alignment with the highest good of self and all. Faith is that which allows you, allows one to be at peace with the circumstances, whatever they may be, in knowing that life itself is an expression of the divine. All life is acceptable to the divine, and all paths are acceptable to the divine. To have faith is to understand that the choices being made are the choices inspired by one's higher expression, more refined expression, and informed by the wisdom of that vantage point. So that what looks like an expression of troubling affairs can often just be the rocky passageway through turbulent energies and a means of releasing from your field of energy that which has been stuck and holding your being in stasis and preventing your progression, so that the troubling times can be understood as the process through which transformation is occurring. So one carries their faith within themselves as they witness the turbulence around them, and as this witness of faith, we can have deeper understanding that our lack of understanding is not a judgment of the situation at hand, and a lack of understanding is simply that alone. And in faith, we carry a deeper knowing that all is as it needs to be in that given moment. The turbulence we experience or witness is part of our own unfolding and coming to a state beyond this turbulence. As all beings are on their own path of understanding and are processing a unique set of inner turbulence, we cannot internalize that which we witness as being necessarily our own resolution. However, to witness is to understand that there is some reflection of this turbulence within that is also being released through that which we witness. The key is not to expand and become drawn into the turbulence that we witness in our family of humanity, and understand that all beings are in a similar process of frustration and turbulence and release of old energies. As we become more assured in our faith and knowing that this turbulence is not the substance of our being, but that which passes through our beings, we can rest in peace as we witness within our own beings and within our fellow beings these turbulences as they stir the release of old energies. The old energies that existed in the age of the fourth sun of the fourth dimensions have been unhinged as a point of divine decree. It is time for the change and translation and transformation of these energies to the new uplifted energies of the fifth, sixth, and seventh vibrations. In order for these less dense vibrations to embody within humanity, humanity must first extinguish the old energies from the physical body, from the emotional body, from the psychological body, from the realm of the natural world and the planet, Gaia, from the atmosphere, and beyond the physical atmosphere, the energetic atmosphere, must all be cleared of these old energies. The turbulence experienced at this time is that process of release, for to release is to experience, to feel, to let go of. It is a tactile, experiential occurrence. Therefore, one must carry their faith within in knowing that this is what the occurrence we see and witness, we feel and experience. This is what is happening. And as we witness and experience the turbulence, we carry in this inner faith the knowing that all is well, the transitions will occur, are occurring, and what appears to be is not what is truth in our being. And our faith is grounded in the truth of our being. And this truth is that we, through our physical, our experience, our embodying, our being in the world, is the expression of the divine all, and our mission, such as it is to clarify that expression of divine being within and as the expression of our living experience, of our loving experience, of our unification as this experience and expression within our world, this Gaia, within our beings, our body, and within our community as a unified humanity in the expression of the divine all in the experience of being a human. Well, that was the substance of it. So we have about, I don't know, 8 minutes or so to receive your phone calls. It's 212-209-2900 is the number to call to give your thoughts or to, I'd be curious to see what you think or what your insights might be on how we are proceeding in this being a human being here on planet Earth. 212-209-2900. 2900.
First part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
That is America, Horse with No Name. I did get call off the air, got a call off the air, which was very beautiful. Thank you. The number is 212-209-2900. You can speak on the air or not. We only have about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I believe, before we should be moving to the next program. So for those of you who want to connect with me, you can do that by email primarily, and my email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's the primary show that I do, Heart of Mind Radio. I also have a website, heartofmindradio.com, and my Qigong site, my spiritual work, is qigongonline.net, qigongonline.net. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Hi. You know, It is King's birthday today, and I think he's a wonderful guide for these times, you know, for our world. Can I read something from him?
Yes, please do.
Okay. The speech beyond Vietnam, he talks about the need for a revolution of values. And I would just interpret that, I would just say broadly that, you know, we need to be our brothers' keepers, you know, all of our brothers, including the ones who are not behaving kindly toward us. And they're sick, you know. That's what I mean by, like, we need to address the dysfunction and not condemn them.
Yeah.
So King said a genuine revolution of values means, in the final analysis, that our loyalties must become ecumenical rather than sectional. Every nation must now develop an overriding loyalty to mankind as a whole in order to preserve the best in their individual societies. And just one more line. He says, this call for a worldwide fellowship that lifts neighborly concern beyond one's tribe, race, class, and nation is in reality a call for an all-embracing and unconditional love for all mankind.
Beautiful.
So I encourage people to check him out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Blessings.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, the number is 212-209-2900, and as soon as I see Jim at the door, we will make that transition. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you are live on the air.
I'm sorry, I'm going off the air.
Okay. 212-209-2900. I did say you could speak off the air, so let's play a little music in case somebody wants to call and do that. I want to thank you very much for joining me today, and I do invite you to take a look at the website qigongonline.net. It's with a Q. I have meditations there, video, as well as my schedule of meditation classes. I'm starting classes in Brooklyn this weekend, so you can find out more by going there. Or you could leave a message for me, if I can find that number quickly, and I will certainly get back to you. And let's see if I can find that number for you. I hear Jim Freund. I hear him. I don't see him, but I think I hear him. Let's see if I can find that number before we get to the end of the program. 347-480-1694. That's actually a number. It's a Skype subscription number. You can leave a message and I'll definitely get back to you. 347-480-1694. If you have any thoughts, I'm going to put on some music in preparation for transition. Macy Gray, A Moment to Myself. And I suppose I could take your call off the air at 212-209-2900. Take care.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a Wednesday night program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, and enchantment. I am Jim Freund. With me, Dan Persons. Yes, it's a media morning. Stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I've got a bit of a problem here. I try as much as possible to avoid spoilers, even though research more and more proves that people actually appreciate them. I prefer to err on the side of caution, nevertheless. But in the case of the new film Predestination, given what I presume is the prime demo for Hour of the Wolf, as soon as I mention the film's source material, I will automatically have given away a major bit of the film's plot. It can't be avoided, though, so for those of you well-versed in SF literature, let me just apologize in advance. Predestination is an adaptation of Robert Heinlein's All You Zombies. Plot spoiled? You're welcome. In it, a writer of true confession stories spills his tale of woe to a sympathetic bartender. It's not the typical sob story, though, since the writer, a male, started life as a female, eventually destined for a promising career in Space Corp, an organization that recruits patriotic party girls to service astronauts in orbit. That was until she was seduced and impregnated, and in the course of giving birth, discovers she actually carries an additional set of male organs, which the doctors are forced to activate during her cesarean. The bartender, for his part, is actually a time traveler who offers to bring the writer face to face with the man who ruined her/his life in exchange for the writer joining his organization of crime-fighting time cops. That's probably where I should cut off the synopsis, so I'm going to do just that. I'll say this right off. The biggest flaw of Predestination is probably the thing that the directors Michael and Peter Spierig, a.k.a. the Spierig brothers, who also co-wrote, had to add in order to get the film made. While the film remains largely faithful, and surprisingly so, to Heinlein's story, a new plotline has been added in the form of a mad bomber that the temporal police are chasing through time. It gives the film a ticking clock aspect missing from the original tale, and on the plus side, it fills in a notable gap in the original story. Heinlein introduces us to the time cops, but doesn't really elaborate on what they do. But as much as the Spierigs try to work this new element into the original convoluted plotline, it doesn't quite pan out, to the point where the bartender's temporal police boss shows up to chide him for tampering too severely with the timeline, kind of the way a surrogate Heinlein might call out the directors for messing with his plot. Thing is, though, that a lot of the elaborations the Spirigs add are well thought out and gracefully executed. While All You Zombies is a story that toys with some very clever ideas, there isn't much to it to grab onto emotionally, and the directors have managed to remedy that lack. Granted, once you understand the full dimensions of the plotline and have some time to reflect on things, the emotional component can be a bit creepy. But in the telling, it's well done and welcome, and the leads, Ethan Hawke as the barkeep, Sarah Snook as the writer, have an undeniable chemistry. One can also question the Spirig's decision to include the Space Corp angle. The story was written in 1958, looking forward to a future set around the 1970s. But given that the film now looks back to the same time, the notion of government-backed orbiting call girls, whether or not they're tricked out as mid-60s stewardesses, adds an alt-history element that doesn't quite play with the rest of the story. But at least by that conclusion, the Spirigs demonstrate that they recognize the value of the original story. And all in all, their respect is paid off in the rare adaptation whose digressions actually add to the experience. I'm not sure why Predestination is being snuck into exactly one theater in New York in a token release. Anybody who loves science fiction will think that it deserves better. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to mightymoviepodcast.com.
Well, I couldn't get my music quite up in time, so I'm going to stall for just a minute. Ah, here it comes, a red line slowly going. But we're going to, Dan Persons has his top 10 genre list of movies for last year. We'll also try to take out a little bit of time for television and other media. But now I find, the computer has finally given me access to my music. And so imagine that we're still hearing that .com at the end. And
I can do it again for you.
Okay, well, hold on. Your mic is on.
Okay.
Tell
me when I can pick it up again.
Hold on. There we are. Let me close mode on Deputy Dan. Okay, there. So
Deputy Dan has no friends.
That's right. That's right. And then there's
obscure reference.
Well, but a Pacifica Radio reference.
Yes, that's true.
Because they never did Deputy Dan has no friends on Bozos.
Yeah.
Which is where Deputy Dan actually is a going character. He's just sort of a poem,
right,
a zen-like poem on dear friends from KPFA.
Yeah.
Was it KPFA or KPFK?
I do not know.
David Osmond
on
from WBAI.
On Dear Friends, it was a children's book that was being translated. Apparently, a children's book originally in Spanish.
Yes.
That was being translated.
That's right. But people should get the originals. You know, that album, Dear Friends, is nothing but a best of compilation of something like 50, 60 hours of their radio show from Pacifica Radio.
Is that available?
Yes. At the Pacifica Radio Archives.
Ah.
PRA. Mm-hmm. Just Google up Pacifica Radio Archives. And they will sell it to you.
Hmm.
And tell them Jim is... Actually, I think you can actually do that. Yeah. Say, I went there because of Hour of the Wolf, and that will, give me brownie points.
I learned...
No money, just brownie points.
I learned a lot about comedy, weirdly, just listening to Dear Friends, the compilation. I learned about yes and before I even knew there was a term, yes and.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the Farsign Theater to this day is the best modern science fiction radio drama produced on this side of the pond.
Yeah.
On the other side of the pond, it's, of course, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And by that, I mean the original. And I like to remind people, it was not originally a book. It was a radio drama and was first broadcast ever in the United States on Hour of the Wolf.
Almost everything they did, Nick Danger, Third Eye, well, that, I think...